Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Wow. What a wonderful day this is. I tell you, Baptism Sunday really adds some dimension to the things that we're going to experience. I'm just going to hold off for a minute before the ushers receive your offering. And so, the wonderful thing about it is that when God does something in your life, you're willing to tell somebody. Amen? Amen. This is an opportunity for us to get ourselves equipped and to learn some things about Jesus and for us to really go out and to share with a lost and dying world. Would you all stand with me? We're going to go into 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to actually review some of the things I said last week about prayer, just real briefly, and then we'll finish this particular part 9 of the church that Jesus is building. And part 10, I believe only next week, we'll kind of wrap up the whole series. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. You'll get the responding verses behind you. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Verse 46 together. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to talk about, Lord, we're going to finish up the acrostics on prayer, review a few of them. But Lord, there's a place you want to take us today in this message that will help us to understand that prayer is an active expression of our belief in you. And Lord, today for those who have been disillusioned, those who've been discouraged, and those who say, well, they've just kind of given up on prayer. It's just kind of like God's going to do whatever he wants to do. Lord, I pray that you would infuse them with faith today to believe you, that our prayers are being heard and they will be answered. Holy Spirit, be with us today, and we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise, for we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. So as we pursue our relationship with the Lord Jesus in prayer, and I say that actively of pursuit, we pursue a relationship with him in prayer, we must be ready to embrace supernatural circumstances and divine intervention. Now let me help you with that. Somebody says, supernatural circumstances, what does that mean? God will surprise you about some of the things he's going to do. Supernatural means that natural is this, but God says, I can do better than that. And the Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither have ear heard the things that God has in store for those who love him. And so you may even experience that today. Matter of fact, I'm praying prophetically that some of you will experience some things from the Lord, and he'll speak to you directly in ways he never has before. But that being the case, God showed himself in powerful ways in the Old Testament while Jesus performed many personal miracles in the lives of people in the New Testament. You see, so you put the old against the new, and we'll talk about a supernatural expression in just a moment. But in the New Testament, Jesus went about, and the Bible says he went about doing good, laying hands on the sick and people recovering and healing blinded eyes and raising the dead. You say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Says who? You may have come here today saying, well, I've got a situation that's impossible. God does the impossible. And so that being the case, first of all, are you ready to remove the limits off your faith and trust Jesus with all your hearts? People say, yeah, I guess so. Really? That's a dangerous place to be, because here's the thing that will get us all in trouble. Disappointment. Come on, be honest. I trusted Jesus to do this and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I want you to take your confidence off of it and put your confidence in him. Get off of it and get into him. And so the idea of it is I'm here to not only to build your faith, but for you to cross over to that place where God does the impossible things of that which are impossible. Number two says this: are you willing to have your motives for the things you prayed for about examined by the Holy Spirit? Oh, Lord Jesus. Because some of us think that God is obligated to do everything we pray for. Well, I prayed about it. And I'm sure it's God's will because he did it for them. He might as well do it for me. There's a one missing piece there. What's your motive? Well, I want what they got. Well, they got a house. I want one too. They got a car. I want one too. Really? We've got to take it away from the ideal of entitlement. Number three, it's going to be a rough one, and it's too late to leave now, so we'll know why. Have you given Jesus permission to rip anything out of you that is not of him? Woo! There it is. Woo! There it is. I didn't say surgically remove. I mean rip it out. It's only temporary pain, but I'll tell you what, when it's gone, then you'll have a real reason to worship Jesus. Amen. Let's go through this real quickly. Jesus is the final answer for everything we need in prayer. And verse 44 says, we already read that, it says, there's a cloud about the size of, small as a man's hand. What can a cloud about the size of a man's hand do for a whole nation that hasn't had rain? It's all about perspective. You have to see it differently. That because there was no cloud before and now it's about the size of a man's hand, that is, I want to install in many of you here hope. You didn't see anything before, but now you see just the cloud of a size of a man's. God can expand that to be more than you ever thought. I want to take your faith from nothing to a cloud. Just a little bit of faith. Let's start little because we're going to go big. Answered prayers are those that contain the six elements we talked about is pause. That means we pause, we reflect, we acknowledge, yielding, engaging, and rejoicing. And we talked about those real quickly last week. Well, I'm going to skip all the way down to the person that's working with me. We're going to go down to part F where it says, we must be willing to yield our will to be conformed to his. Ever been going down the road and you see a sign that says yield? How do you feel about that? You know what we do instead of slow down? We put on the gas. I'm going to get there first. And they're going to have to yield to me. Yielding is one thing that we say, well, yeah. And she didn't, what's wrong with her? Didn't she know I was here first? I'm going to help you today. When we fervently pray, we will discover the will of God. Now, I've got to give some definition here because there's words that in the Bible we just kind of skip over, like words like fervent. Fervent. What does it mean, fervent? Does that mean you grab the horns of the altar and start, oh, God, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, oh, Lord God, know you hear me, oh, God? That's whining. Or then you start telling God all the good things you've done and the reason why you deserve what you're asking for. Lord, you remember when nobody else showed up for prayer meeting, I was there. That should count for righteousness. You got your reward right there. But here we go. We must let go of our ideas of how we believe God will or should answer our prayers. Because let's be honest, we have pretty much fixed in our mind how God should do it, when he should do it, who he should use to do it. And we say, here you go. God's not a takeout window. Or he's not the speaker box. I'll take that and then double that with fries and then all this, and you roll up to the window and you're ready. This isn't what I ordered. And you get all beside yourself. When we yield to God, we surrender our agenda and become conformed to his divine plan. The word divine is not mystical, as much as we want to make it mystical. Later on in life, you'll be thanking, you'll be doing cartwheels over the things you thought you wanted today, and God in his wisdom didn't give you when you thought you wanted them. But today, you're not doing so good. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands, but I know there's a lot of y'all in here. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Oh, that's the reason. Oh, yeah. God knows better than you do. And if there's only one thing that we will discover today, it will be how to yield to God's plan. Clue phone, yours isn't working. Your input isn't necessary. So let's work with that. Now, on this, on the very, very compassionate side of me, I want to talk about the real pain that we mentioned a few moments ago when all of you jumped on this one, disappointment. Holy Spirit just made me aware of that. For some of you here today, that your hearts are bursting in pain of disappointment. I need to tell you, first of all, that God is not punishing you. It doesn't matter if you're the chiefest of sinners, God does not operate that way. God is good all the time. All the time. So if you think you're going through something right now and this is God's punishment toward you, that's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. So let's move that off the table. But when we yield to God and say, you know what, God? Be honest with us. Say, you know, God, I'm hurting and I really don't understand what you're doing. But you know what? I'm going to yield to you right now and I'm going to give you all of my hopes, all of my dreams, all of my pain. Jesus, you can have it. That's our first step. Well, we must engage, which is the next word in prayer that we're doing. E is in prayer. We must engage in activating our faith by taking whatever posture is necessary to receive an answer. Now, as I get older, kneeling isn't always the best posture for me. But you know what? I found out if I'm desperate enough, I can get down here. You know, now getting up may be a problem. But I'll tell you what, sometimes out of the very fact of letting God know, he says, I don't care how I feel, I don't care how old I am, I don't care how much I ache, Lord, you deserve the best that I can give. In my pain, in my misery, in all the excuses that I have, God, you are worthy of the most prostrate position I can find. If I need to lay out on the floor, y'all, I can do it. Oh, yes, I can. I'm not too old, I'm not too proud to admit whatever it takes, I need Jesus. Come on. But you know, that's the problem with some of us. God can hear me upright. That's all religion. I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit says, lay down, baby. And don't get up till he tells you to get up. Well, God is more interested in our faith position than our physical position. And in adjusting us, it may take us for our benefit to change the way we've done things. Our faith is released when we allow nothing to hinder our prayers. Can I talk about hindrances to prayer? And I'll get very specific in a few moments. But the number one hindrance to prayer, look at me, is not doing it. We're going to simple 101, prayer 101. God will not answer every prayer that you don't pray. Can you work with that? Come on, I worked all night figuring that one out. Come on. He will not answer every prayer that you don't pray. He ain't gonna answer. They don't want to pray. Hey, I'm good. Well, and you can use that. I'll give you permission. We must never let our physical location become a hindrance to our divine connection. And I've said this before, and this is not bragging or anything like this, but you know what? Any place you are is a place of prayer. You can be on the bus, you can be on the street, you can be on the street corner, you can be at some kind of rally, this type of thing. There is no place that should hinder you from praying. I've been to concerts and, you know, various basketball games. This type. People are screaming and making fools of themselves, spinning around in circus, jumping up and down, and I'm going to be embarrassed about praying? Are you kidding me? And you look like a blithering idiot? Seriously. Your pride is going the wrong direction. That's all I got to tell you. Well, let's get back to the story. He says, we can rejoice knowing that God has heard us and his answer is on the way. Verses 45 and 46 here. This is interesting in our text, and we'll move forward on this. It says, and now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. I like that word, happened. Nobody was expecting it, but it happened. Ever had something happen to you you weren't expecting? Did it care whether you were expecting it or not? It happened. And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere, the clouds came, these black clouds come rolling in. You're thinking, oh my goodness. What started to be that picture of a man's hand is taking a whole new form. Folks, I want to let your faith arise to a position where it started over here, but now God is escalating and doing things greater than you ever thought or imagined could occur. But that isn't all there is to it. So we shout from the victory, but we rejoice in knowing that we have heard the sound of rain in our spiritual ears. I talked about that last week. I want to rehearse that. Because in verse 41, I'll read it for you again. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And this happens before there's a cloud in the sky, there's a hand in this little, it happens ahead of me. God is speaking to people prophetically today, and you don't see anything. But in your spirit, you know, something's going to change. I want to get in touch with some of you sitting right in this room right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and it's not your imagination. It's not something you conjured up. It's the fact the Spirit's saying to you that your situation is about to change. But you know what happens? The devil will try to talk you out of it before you get out that door. Instead of you pursuing God, you'll pursue the fact of, whether that God or not, I don't know, and I've tried this before, and I don't want to be disappointed. And so you will release what God gave you for the fact of fear that it's not going to happen. I want to let you know that was God. And what he spoke to you, he will perform it as we allow his work to take place in us. Well, here's the interesting piece of this, and this is really phenomenal. We are supernaturally empowered to do what would seem to be impossible. Now, this last little verse here is very interesting. The Bible says, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. What that's like? It's supernatural power comes upon you, and you do things that are physically impossible. No way it's going to happen. Now, I've talked to some people this week where the Holy Spirit spoke to them and empowered them to do some things, and God showed up, and miraculous things happened. You say, what? I'm not going to tell you who the person was, but do you know that God can heal dogs? He said, what? God can heal dogs. I said, why does he need to heal dogs for? Because he created them, he can do whatever he wants. He said, wait a minute, he's got to heal a dog, but he can leave the dog alone. I want that. So you leave the dog miserable, so come on. We have this exchange thing in our mind that's twisted. God will do whatever will bring him glory. And some of you are still mad. But it happened last week in a situation, I won't give the whole story because it's not mine to tell. It was a situation where in the name of Jesus, God healed an animal that had this problem. The dog's hollering, this type of thing. There's no opportunity to go take him to the vet and this type of thing. And God instantaneously healed the dog in the name of Jesus. That's the name that we operate under. And if God cares about a dog, I think he likes you. You're all right. You're okay. You're all right. But here's the part I'm trying to get to. And so the hand of the Lord is upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, get this. Elijah picks up his little skirt or gown, whatever he had, and he's booking. Oh, no, I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. And he outruns a horse, a man on a horse. He outruns it and gets to Jezreel and says, where you been? I've been here a while. And he said, why would God put something that odd in the Bible? I think God likes having fun with us. I really do. When you're God, some days, you know, things get a little boring. You add a little spice to it, okay? No, but the deal is this. Is it when God does puts things, he inserts them in the Word of God, he says, then you say, then all of a sudden your conclusion, is there anything that God can't do? And the answer is no, there's nothing he can't do. He heals dogs, and he makes prophets outrun horses. How about that? Works for me. Let me get to this last piece. We must clean up everything that would prevent God from answering our prayer. Somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them this, clean it up. All right, here's how it goes. We must be aware that there are some things that will prevent our prayers from being answered. What? And I'm going to get very specific about this. People who lack compassion and concern for the plight of others will find their prayers hindered. Proverbs 21:13. I'm going to start the real place, okay? Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Woo! Boy, we started off. Some of our prayers are dismissive because we don't care about poor folks. We care about us. Now, I don't want to put you in the place where you feel like you've got to answer every plea for, you know, send money here, send money there, do this, do that, this type of thing. But the fact of it, when it doesn't touch you, there's something wrong with you. When you can see suffering and it doesn't affect you, the devil's got your heart. And you know why he's got it? Because it's all about you. Now, I'm going to put it in practical terms. Because you don't get any other way anyway, so don't. All of you see people on the street corner, or not all, but you see the people with the sign, and World War, you know, the food thing, and the World War vet, and a dollar for a hamburger. I mean, you've seen them all. You've seen different things. And because you've seen it all, there is automatically a shield within you that all crooks. Or they all know how to work the system, or whatever it is. I want you to dismiss this for a moment. I want you to fast forward to the place where the Holy Spirit will say to you, help this person. And they don't even have a sign. They're trying to buy their groceries and they're about a dollar and something short. And they got milk in there and they got just a little bit of elements and this type of thing. And the Holy Spirit says to you, help them. But you know what? You know what will keep you from doing it? Well, they use an EBD card and this type of thing to get that stuff. They're probably just working the system. God said, help them. We are so quick to judge folks, and I'm sure there are people that work this system. There's sure there are people this type of thing. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do it. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Let me help you a little further with that. We find ourselves very uncomfortable in God's presence if we totally are focused on ourselves. And the Lord's ears are inclined to the righteous. And I'll define righteousness for you in just a moment. Okay. Second thing is give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18. Here we go. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Be thankful.
Be thankful.
When your car does not start in the morning, thank him. You say, wait a minute. That's stupid. I need to be able to be mad about something. May I ask you where that's going to get you? Here's the thankful part. And thank God you got AAA.
There you go.
See, so you, well, you want to have your little mad spell, and then you say, hey, I guess I'll throw out this AAA. Will you stop for a moment? Because we are so busy thinking that our life should go without any interruption. You're wrong. Let me unfold that for you. Thanksgiving sees the way for answered prayer. We must give thanks to the Lord regardless of our situation, and our attitude will determine our altitude. You can write that one down. You can use that too. Yeah, that's good. It works. Here comes the big one. Swallow big, because here we go for the big one. Forgiveness will unlock the door to unanswered prayer if we learn how to forgive. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is good. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Whenever, not if ever. Whenever you are praying, it'd be good to go through a real quick survey. Am I standing in unforgiveness toward anybody? Is there anybody I need to forgive before I ask God to do something for me? And amazingly, oftentimes you'll find that, yes. Look at me. Some of you need to forgive your spouse for something you never told them they did. Some of you need to forgive your children, even though they're rascals. And they tore up all your stuff. And they were going to pay you last Friday and didn't bring you a dime. And you all bent over $40 and can't get to Jesus. Let it go, baby, let it go. But that's how we are. When you stand praying, forgive. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Sometimes we forget the things that we've done against God. And I'll tell you why we forget them. Because they're habits. And we habitually do certain things. So, oh, you know, God knows I'm just, I got a hot head, and God knows I got a temper, and God knows I'm just kind of stingy, and God knows. So we license bad behavior. I got to read more. Here's the part. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In other words, you can't hold on to it and have God forgive you. Oh, there'll be time at the end of the service. We're going to fix this, okay? But let me hasten on real quickly because we're on a timeline here today. Jesus modeled forgiveness for people who had not repented, and so should we. I got to take you to the cross. Jesus on the cross, people are spitting at him, giving him sour wine. One guy went one time and says, well, let me come into your kingdom. The other fellow says, if you really are who you think you are, just save us and save yourself. You got two particular opinions. But in the midst of all this noise, you know what Jesus says? He says, Father, forgive them because they don't really know what they're doing. Here's the part. We can't say that because we know that the person who did this to us knew exactly what they were doing.
That's good. That's good.
So that's the excuse that we hold on to not forgive people. Now, let me break that down for you, what it means. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Comes down to this. They don't realize the impact of how it hurt, offended, or did something to my heart to steal or crystallize it against them. But Lord, I want to forgive them anyway. I want to tell you not only a survival technique, but a way that you can stay in ministry for 55 years. Forgive people. I'm serious. Before they ask you, forgive them. Don't carry something another day. Don't carry it more than the time it takes you to say, Lord, I'm going to let go of this. It doesn't make you righteous. It sets you free. Then you don't have to carry all this stuff. Because, you know, when you, I ain't going to pray for them. Mm-mm. How she treated me? No, 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 no. Well, she can fry, roast, whatever she going to do. I don't care nothing about her. Her stuff. Make it the best way you can, baby. I'm not on your team, okay? Well, God has an awesome plan for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Oh, that is a powerful scripture. Did you hear what that says there? Who is able to do exceedingly beyond abundantly beyond and above what you could ask or think. There are prayers you haven't prayed yet that God is waiting to answer. That you haven't thought about. God says, you know, I got this one covered. Well, I can't wait till they ask because I'm ready to take care of it. That's how God thinks about this. He's not saying, maybe I can't wait till they pray about this so I can just tell them no. That might be you, but that's not God. According to the power that works in us. You know the power that works in you is the Holy Spirit that says, will draw you to the presence of God. More than you can ask or even think. All things are working together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God has a plan for you that cannot be thwarted by the enemy. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody loves this scripture. So I had to do this for everybody. Love this scripture. Love it. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I'm going to look right into this audience and probably catch eye contact with several people here. God has been thinking about you all week long. About your future. And there's hope in your future. That you, what you thought was impossible, the job you thought you'd never get, the finances you needed to get a down payment on the house, God says, I've got that ready for you. Trust me, it's going to come to pass. Wait. There's one even better. That healing situation that you thought you'd have to suffer the rest of your life, God says, I got that covered for you. Wow. Because God's always thinking about you. Well, the last little section says, the best prayer is a life well lived. All of life is meant to be a prayer. Somebody say amen. That means our life is meant to be an act of worship, glorifying the presence and the power of Jesus. And prayer is the essence of our relationship with Jesus. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He wasn't saying, well, let me think about that. Let me get back to you. No. He says, when you pray, this is what you need to do. Our Father, which art in heaven. The hallowed be thy name is a part that maybe you'll stumble over, because hallowed means that there's incomparable. And I'm never to take for granted God or his goodness. And when we pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, here's the part, and I'll move on from this. On earth as is in heaven. Every time you pray, you're bringing heaven down to earth. Every time you bring order and goodness, you're bringing heaven down to earth. Well, it means this, that Elijah received an answer to his prayer that affected an entire nation when he prays and the rain comes, as far as that's concerned. But people will believe in Jesus when they see the fruit of your life. Here's what I believe is important. In this room right now, and some things I know and some things I don't. But one thing I know for sure is the Holy Spirit has prepared us for this hour for people here to receive answers to prayer that they thought, well, it's kind of futility. Why even ask again? I want to tell you a little story of my own. Many years ago, and I say, now I can really say many years ago. I was praying, and my prayer was pretty simple. I said, God, the only thing I want to do before I die is to see, you know, some part of the world. I didn't tell him where. But here's, at the same time I was praying, I didn't believe it was going to happen. I really didn't. I said, I'm a kid from Portland, Oregon, and if I make it down to Los Angeles, I'll do well. And then one day I got to New York, I'm thinking, oh boy, I've arrived in New York. New York, New York. But one of the dispatches the Lord sent me to, and I remember as if it happened yesterday. I was standing on the Zeil in Frankfurt, Germany, which is kind of an open mall. And we're over there with a band of folks who were over there. We're doing some ministry over there. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, he says, how'd you get here? And I just kind of stopped for a moment. And it was a conflicted situation because I never thought I'd ever, ever leave the continental United States and be able to do ministry. And since then, I can't even tell you how many places. It doesn't really matter. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that I thought it would never happen to me. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and you're caught in this particular vortex of reality, of things that you say, yeah, it'll never happen to me. And I want to tell you, God says, today, I'm going to remove the veil, and all things are possible. You mean a blanket veil type thing? Listen to me carefully. When you walked in this room, whether you praise the Lord or not, or whether you were entering into worship or not, playing in the background of all the things you've done is that one thing that says, and if I could only have this answered in my life, everything would be okay. God hears your background music. God hears the things that you haven't said and you haven't uttered. And I'm here to say prophetically, that the process of what God is doing is activated today. Now, when I said today, some of you all of a sudden, something lighted up your spirit and said, really? Because the faith to believe that says, God really is thinking about me, that even though it was playing in the background, he's not mad at me because I wasn't fully engaged with what's going on here. God knows the desires of your heart. And I'm here to tell you today, he's about to do something that will go beyond what you could even ask or think. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to go to Jesus right now. And I believe that something great, not is going to happen, but is happening. The first thing I want to deal with people that are sitting here right now, the very first thing, is your fear. And the enemy uses it like this. If you trust again, what if it doesn't happen? Then what are you going to do? And the tug of war between what God said and the reality of what's happened before need not to be an issue today. Because if God said it, you can believe it. It's going to happen. So while your heads are bowed and while your eyes are closed, I'm going to call out some very specific things. And if I call out, in many cases I will, the thing that you're asking God for, and the Holy Spirit will connect with you. The only words you need to say, two words, or actually three, Lord, I believe. Father, this morning, it's so amazing to me that we can talk about prayer, we can theorize or do all the things we try to do to try to make prayer more palatable for folks. I started off this morning, Lord, talking about all the disillusionment and disappointment that people have had. And somehow the enemy has shut up their faith and holding them hostage to fear. Lord, you said, if we ask anything according to your will, we can have it. Lord, there are some people that are so persecuted by pain and that they don't even want to ask anymore. Lord, the first thing I ask you to remove is a shield of doubt that covers their heart over with protection. And Lord, let faith overwhelm and take its place. Lord, there are people in this room today that have struggled with drug addiction for a long, long time. Some of them have done it in the privacy of no one ever knowing this is going on. But Lord, you said today, if they're willing to come to you, that you'll deal with the issue. It's not the drugs, Lord God. It's that empty place in their heart that they need to let you inhabit. Lord, there are people here that are hurting because of physical ailments. And Lord, it'd be so hard, it'd be so easy for you to say to God, you know, it's kind of a blank thing. Everybody's going to get healed today. But Lord, as I'm saying this, there's someone here today that says, you know, that's mine. Lord, I believe. Because something inside of me today says it's totally different. And today, I believe Jesus is going to do it. Lord, there's one more thing I can't leave behind. But Lord, there's several people here today that have struggled with sin. They've struggled with habits. And they've tried every type of program there is. And they're okay for a day or a week or whatever. And they find themselves falling back and relapsing in those situations. And somehow they got themselves couched in this position of saying, I'll never, ever be free. But today the Holy Spirit says, this is your day of deliverance. And I need you to say in your spirit right now, Lord, I believe.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.